Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff, along with Dane Neal, who is sitting in for Wendy Snyder. It's time to talk television. Mickey O'Connor joins us right now. Mickey is the editor-in-chief of TV Guide Digital, and there's a lot going on in the world of television. So here he is. Hi, Mickey. How are you? Nice to meet you.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. I want to start out with this. Now, we have to be very careful when talking about this because even though most of the fans of The Walking Dead saw last Sunday's episode, I know there's still people who DVR'd it or taped it or whatever, and they haven't seen it. So when discussing this, let's try our best to not divulge too much. But here's what I need to ask you. Several people have said that last Sunday's episode, the season premiere of Walking Dead, was the most violent episode of television in history. Do you see it that way, Mickey?
I think that like a lot of things when it comes to television standards, I think that things are evolutionary, and I think that obviously programmers can get away with a lot more than they used to be able to. But, you know, you're talking about a show that's about a zombie apocalypse, and it was never a buttoned-up show to begin with. It was always very violent. It was always very bloody. It's not a show for children. One of our writers actually wrote a story this week that's about how the new sort of trend in television violence is bashing someone's head in.
Yeah.
And because you can see examples of it on The Walking Dead, on American Horror Story, on Westworld, they've all had sort of head smash, you know, plot lines. So, I think it's getting a little bit more violent, but this is not content, you know, for a mixed audience. This is for adults.
A lot of people have also criticized how unfair the cliffhanger was. Now, the purpose of a cliffhanger is to get you to come back and watch and see how things end. So
if
I don't know.
The cliff is too steep. It's unfair.
Right.
Like, I really got to come back.
People said that it was manipulative, but I mean, it did what it needed to do. They set up the story last season at the end, and they paid it off on Sunday. Why be critical of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the whole culture of binge watching, the whole idea that you can go on Netflix and watch an entire season of television in a weekend has made us all sort of really impatient. And I think that, you know, the same thing happened a few years ago with that TV show, The Killing, where people were really upset that, like, the show didn't resolve the entire mystery at the end of the season and instead made it a cliffhanger. And, you know, for me, I kind of feel like that's always what television has been about. I just think that our behavior toward them toward cliffhangers have changed.
Are you shocked by anything you've ever seen on TV? I know you're a TV critic, so you log a lot of hours. Has there been anything recently that you've seen and you thought to yourself, well, I thought I saw it all, but now this?
Well, if you ever watch American Horror Story on FX, you'll be introduced to some new, you know, methods of murder
and
sexual fetishes, things that, like, you didn't really think that you were ever going to watch on TV, and there they are. So
I got to be honest, I've been watching The Exorcist on Fox and enjoying it a lot.
Yeah.
And there have been one or two things on there that during the commercial, I watch it with my wife, I say to my wife, that just happened, right? We just saw that? They just did that?
Yeah, so I'm glad to hear that you're enjoying it. I think that, you know, it's on Friday night, so it's always a little tough to tell, like, if people are going to show up for it.
Yeah.
And I also think that because of the subject matter and because of the baggage of it being affiliated with the original, you know, celebrated movie, I think there was a question of whether or not people were going to show up to watch that.
Just in general, and we've talked kind of how the envelope gets pushed as far as whether it's sex or violence or any of these kind of what I guess would be considered, you know, shocking things on television. You go back to, and I just saw a commercial with, you know, Lucy and Ricky Ricardo in separate beds, like having you know, bedtime conversation while they're like 4 feet apart. And then you look today where you said that head smashing is now, or the bashing in of a skull is kind of like, well, geez, what are we going to do next? Now, is that the kind of thing where people with these shows where zombie apocalypse, you think on the surface it's violent enough that they really do feel that they have to get out there and top each other?
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, when Lucy, you know, and Ricky couldn't share a bed, there were like seven shows on television.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all network television. It was all, you know, on federally controlled airwaves, and, you know, there were obvious reasons why there needed to be, rules and regulations. Today, there's thousands of channels, and they have varying degrees of control. There's varying degrees of expectations about those controls. Like, some are, you know, premium cable, and, you know, some are streaming services where they don't have the same pressures that broadcast TV has, or even basic cable for that reason, for that matter. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, if you're creating a television show, and I think that you say, like, oh, how about we, you know, have the guy shoot him in the head? Well, it's like, how many times have you seen someone get shot in the head?
Yeah.
You know, watching TV.
We need more.
More of that, please.
Right. So it's like, you know, you need to figure out a different way to do it. You know, some might argue that the true creativity will come when it's not about violence. It's about, you know, sort of being more creative about violence instead of it being bloody and in your face, you know?
Well, there was always, I guess, the Alfred Hitchcock theory of suspense, where you say, don't show them the payoff. Let your mind do that work. But that seems to have dissipated. Nobody wants to do it that way anymore.
I think there are people who still do it, but I think that Hitchcock is a good analogy. I think that, you know, I think that there was a time when there was something that was so, you know, unnerving about what wasn't seen. You know, you think about Jaws, you think about Jurassic Park, how long it takes for you to actually see the dinosaurs, you know. It's, mm-hmm. it's like, I think it's something that's still out there. I don't know if it's a function of television, but, you know.
There's a little, just one more quick thing about Walking Dead, and then we'll move on to other things, but I saw this online this morning, a very, very subtle 2-second bit on Walking Dead that I didn't realize, even though I watched the episode, is that after the gruesomeness of what takes place, you lose a major character, they show one of the minor characters, one of the bad guys, go up to the body and take a photograph of it and walk away. And I didn't notice that when I first saw the episode, but it throws a little salt in the wounds to see that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, there's still a little mystery surrounding who Negan and his followers actually are and what they believe in and what they do. And I think that, you know, that's an astute observation, and I think that's part of it.
Yep. Mickey O'Connor is our guest, editor-in-chief for TV Guide Digital. We're talking television. You can jump in at 312-981-7200. When we come back, some very good news. One of the best TV shows, one of the funniest TV shows ever could be coming back. We'll tell you what that is next. It's Bill and Danan for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Dane Neal sitting in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday. Mickey O'Connor is our guest. Mickey is the editor-in-chief for TV Guide Digital, a great website. Just go to tvguide.com. It's right there, TV Guide Digital. I just mentioned a little while ago that one of the funniest shows in recent memory is returning.
That's
Dane,
So Raven.
Your guess is That's So Raven.
Well, I know it's big and coming back.
Sure, but that's not the one. It's even better news. Tell everybody, Mickey, what looks like it's coming back.
Well, I'm going to preface this by saying this is very preliminary conversations, but as you guys probably know, about a month ago, the cast of Will and Grace reunited to create kind of a mini episode in support of Hillary Clinton's
Sure.
presidential campaign. Although basically it was you know, a kind of a get out the vote kind of a thing, but it definitely had a pro Hillary Clinton bent to it.
Big time.
You know, the act of doing that, you know, got everyone thinking. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of talks about doing a sort of a mini season. And initially the talks surrounded, you know, going back to NBC and doing sort of a shortened season. But that's not really the way NBC works. NBC is a broadcast network. They have extended seasons on things. And so now I'm hearing that it might be something that comes to Netflix. And this is kind of significant because Will and Grace doesn't presently have a streaming deal in place for, you know, its back catalog. So, you know, so that could be something that happens simultaneously where we get, you know, a new season, but we also get the back catalog, similar to what they did for Arrested Development and Gilmore Girls and things like that.
For a show that's been off the air like that and probably, you know, in syndication, certainly a hit, you know, they've still got it and there's still some interest. That's why we're talking about it. How does that work in the day and age now where you don't necessarily need a network to broadcast it, where you can do things on lower budgets and put it on a different platform and still get those viewers? Could they just kind of go rogue and make their own show if they wanted to?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I think it's Warner Brothers that owns the rights to the characters and everything. So I think that they can't exactly go rogue. I think that, you know, someone has to be on board who's the stakeholder in the intellectual property. But I do think that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a revival at NBC. It could be elsewhere. I mean, I think that Netflix is sort of a good is a likely possibility.
Mickey, I saw that webisode they did, the Get Out and Vote episode, and it was a shortened episode. I think it was 10 or 12 minutes,
yeah.
But they all looked the same. The timing was dead on, and I thought to myself, they haven't missed a beat. They could get back up and do this tomorrow. Now it looks like they might.
And, you know, we've all seen reunion stuff before where we're kind of like, oh, I don't know about this. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if this is a whole series, but I didn't feel that way about this. I felt like, their comic timing is exactly the same. And they were topical, and they were talking about, things that they couldn't talk about in the original run of the show. It felt like they hadn't, like you said, missed a beat.
They hadn't missed a beat or really moved forward in their careers. It's kind of like one of those things. It's not like Zac Efron with High School Musical where he's gone off to make.
Right.
They all were like, we got nothing better to do.
Yeah. I mean, they've all worked a lot. Don't get me wrong. They've all had a lot of jobs since then, but nothing consistent. Nothing like Will and Grace, which was such a huge hit.
Megan Mullally was on Life in Pieces last night with her husband. They played, it looked like a one-time character or possibly reoccurring character. Very, very funny job there. The only problem I have with this is that in the continuity of the show, I don't know if you remember, but in the last episode or two episodes of the show, they established the fact that Will and Grace kind of ended their friendship for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And these years, if they come back to it, would have been the years in which they weren't friends.
Right. So, I think that there are some narrative issues to be worked out for sure. But I would say that, overall, they're not going to let something like that stop, the opportunity to make more money.
just a timely flashback and you're all
right,
back on track.
Right. And it's probably me that only disturbs where I go, hey, in that one episode, everybody else is buying it. So far, Mickey, we were treated to 20 or 30 or 40 new shows, new fall shows. What have been the biggest hits so far, would you say?
I think there have been a few. I think that, the wealth has been spread a little bit. NBC has a new show called This Is Us, which has done really well. It was created by a guy named Dan Fogelman. He's actually a screenwriter. He wrote the film Crazy Stupid Love. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Steve Carell and Julianne Moore and, Ryan Gosling, a bunch of people. And he's actually a producer on the show Pitch that's on Fox about the first female Major League Baseball player. So This Is Us is kind of a family ensemble drama. There's a few twists and turns along the way about, there's a lot of flashbacks and you sort of fill in the blanks in this family's history. And it's doing really well in the ratings.
And we just found out something kind of devastating about one of the characters. Again, I guess we don't want to divulge it for people who have taped it, but that just happened, right?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that there is kind of a recurring theme on the show, which is like, this person is like this in the past, and this person is like this in the present, and what happened in between that got them there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of those questions was asked and answered in the last episode.
One of the network shows that's out now with Kevin James has come back. Of course, we love his work as the iconic Paul Blart, but he came back and he's got a show that is eerily similar. It's not Broke, Don't Fix It. It's the same thing. My 10-year-old, who's watched reruns of King of Queens, he was like 20 minutes in before he said, who are these people? Are those the neighbors? I'm like, it's a different show, buddy.
Different show, yeah.
It feels
he's
the same.
King of Long Island now, I think that Kevin Can Wait I think you're right. I think if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, Kevin James has such a buoyant personality when it comes to, sitcoms. And we just sent an editor out to the set. They're actually shooting it on Long Island. And we sent an editor out to the set a couple days ago, and they're having a blast. We were there for the Halloween episode. And I think that, it's a very typical sort of family comedy about, multiple generations and, kids returning home, you can't beat Kevin James. And Erin Hayes, who plays his wife, is also hilarious. She's on that show, Children's Hospital, a lot of other things. She's very funny.
And they write to his strengths. They know with Kevin James, he reacts well, so they give him funny things to react to, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they, yeah, I mean, I think he's the executive producer of the show. Like, I think that, like, they write to his strengths because he asked them to.
Sure. Why not? He's the boss. Right. Mickey, great meeting you. We really appreciate this. Too. I hope you have a great weekend. It's Mickey O'Connor, editor-in-chief over for TV Guide Digital. Visit TVGuide.com. You already know. It's great. Thanks, Mickey. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You too.
All right, we'll take a quick break and then some news and then more show. It's Bill and Danan for Wendy on WGN.